Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friend and partner in radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, we are without Ronald J. Martin again this week, and lest anyone think this is a referendum on his performance, it is not. He's actually not traveling either, so I don't feel like there's much we can do with this humor-wise. He's not traveling.
No, he's actually like literally moments before we were going to record, he had to take off to deal with a pastoral situation. So
that's a real euphemistic thing for like buying a plane ticket to a conference. No. I gathered that it was a real pastoral situation.
Yeah, he's in town. He's not shopping for cabins. He's not luxuriating in Christmas lights or any of the things that Ron does. He's helping people.
And Ron's doing work. He's doing his job.
Yeah.
Which means he's going to...
thing we all do on occasion.
Yeah, from time to time, for sure. Which means he's going to need to pamper himself next week at Soma. So Soma Church and Day Spa. Hopefully Ron has booked himself a couple of extra days on the front end of Indy Live, Piper. So why don't you tell the audience about Indy Live, how and where they can get tickets, and why they should get tickets?
Yeah, if my math is correct, I'm not real good with numbers. I'm more of a words guy. But if my math is correct, when this episode releases, it will be less than a week until Indy Live, which means two things. One, it's coming up very quickly, and so there's a sense of urgency to get your tickets. Two, you still have a chance to get your tickets. So if you go to happyrantpodcast.com, you will see right there near the top a big box that says events, and it's got a big orange button that says buy your tickets here. It's got all the details. So it's March 31st. That's a Sunday at 7 p.m. at Soma Church and Day Spa in Indianapolis. That is on the eve of the Gospel Coalition National Conference. So if you are in town, or if you know somebody who's going to be there, or if you're within driving distance of Indianapolis, which is like, that's like a five state area. There's a big radius that you could be within.
That's right.
You should get your tickets and take a trip to come join us for the live recording. We'll do a couple live episodes, and then we'll do a Q&A episode like we've done previously. The Q&A episode is like the highlight of our year, getting a chance to field questions, most of which are awesome, some of which are insane. Occasionally they're musical. Sometimes they're asinine, all of which is delightful. We're looking forward to it. So go ahead and get your tickets. And
we should do two of those Q&A eps.
Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should just extend that time, because that is way more fun than just us yammering on.
Dude,
about
it really
whatever.
Is. Yeah, it really is. Maybe we'll have to run that by Ronald. He always has like really strong feelings about how we do these live shows.
He does. It's like he's planning a church service, even though it's nothing like a church service. It has a little bit of that sort of gravitas in his mind. Like it has to be done just so. There's a liturgical element to this thing.
Oh,
even though
definitely.
It's just us saying words about whatever.
The great thing about Ronald, and to be fair, I'm kind of this way too. I think people take me this way. Ronald is faux laid back. Like, people think he's laid back, but he's not laid back. Like, he's actually very particular about things, and it's delivered in kind of like a faux laid back way, but make no mistake about it. Like, he wants these things done in a certain way.
That's true. Yeah, but both of you have artist sensibilities, meaning there is a sense of carefreeness, but yeah, you find those particular things, whatever those things are, and you approach them, and you find out real quick what your convictions are and just how fierce you can be in defending them.
That's true, man. That's true. But don't we all have those things? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
We all need to have. We probably should. You know, if there's nothing you feel convicted about, that would be problematic too. But Pipe, I am convicted about a couple of things related to Indy Live. One, that it's going to be an amazing time and that people should get tickets. But two, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, I think Indy is a great town. And people like to kind of, like, it's kind of a punchline. People kind of crap on Indy. But I love it, man. I used to live there. I think it's a great town. It's really fun. It's easy to get around in. Have you spent much time in Indianapolis?
I have not spent an enormous amount of time, although the last Gospel Coalition conference was there, and so I was there for that, and I will agree, I was very pleasantly caught off guard by it, because when I think about going to Middle America cities for conferences, I generally don't get excited, I'm going to be honest. The cities usually don't intrigue me. But it's super walkable, there's a ton of restaurants and other dining and beverage establishments in and around the downtown area. It's also, if you want to drive anywhere, I don't think they're familiar with the term traffic. There doesn't seem to be any. And it's just, yeah, it's a sort of a clean, cool town. It's not cool, like hip. It's not Austin or Nashville or Portland or whatever, it's easy to visit and enjoyable most in that way.
Most definitely. Yeah. People should visit Pipe. People should definitely visit. And when we're there, we may get a chance, to do things that, the famous people often get to do, which is signing things.
That's like rich people stuff.
That's rich and famous people stuff. Apparently just famous people stuff, because I've gotten to sign some things over the years, but I'm not actually rich. So,
but remember, like Dave Ramsey says, if you do rich people stuff, you will get rich. So keep signing and the money will come. That's the
by
promise.
That logic, if I could just continue signing autographs, then one day I will be rich. So, Dave, I'm holding you to it. Pipe, did you get any blowback from the Dave Ramsey experience that we had on last week's show?
No, listeners. It's still relatively fresh, but listeners have been largely positive and waited with bated breath for us to rant on it, and seemingly are pleased with our efforts, which I have to say it didn't really take much effort, but they enjoyed the conversation we had, the fruitful discourse we had about doing rich people stuff.
That's great, man. Yeah, I always try to think a few moves down the board as far as like what people are going to hate that we talk about, and I was kind of worried about this one. Like I thought for sure that we would get some hate and some pushback, because Dave Ramsey is like second to, you know, Jesus himself for a lot of people. But thankfully that hasn't been the case in my world either. It's been all positive. Pipe, before we get into this issue of what to sign and what not to sign, tell us about a great Bible app. Yes. The nice thing about a phone and about an app is that like, it just takes all the signing guesswork out of it. There's no way you can get that autographed really. So, tell us about this new sponsor.
That said, I will autograph telephones if somebody hands me one. If you want me to sign your smartphone, I will do it. That's on the list of approved signing things. So Dwell Bible app is our sponsor for the next few episodes. It is it's a mobile app. You download it to whatever device you use, and it's an audio Bible app. So, but the cool thing about it is that it's not just set up as a chance to sort of listen to scripture like an audiobook, but it's set up with listening plans. So, you know, what is it now? It's late March. And that means that if you started the year with the intent to say, read through the Bible in a year, read through the Old Testament or do something, there's a decent chance you're derailed at this point because you're human. New Year's resolutions always go off the rails. So this is a good chance to sort of jump into a fresh way and it blends into the day better, than finding time to read often does. I listen to audiobooks all the time, just sort of in the margins of life, you know, walking the dog or driving somewhere or working out or whatever. So when I think about replacing that with listening to, you know, at least spending some of that time listening to scripture, I think about I could get through an enormous amount just in the flow of life. And that's kind of what Dwell sets you up to do. And check this out. After we did the promotion last week, we got a tweet from David James Allen Jr., who's a listener, he has tweeted at us before, dedicated listener, and he just said, Dwell Bible is an amazing app. I backed them last year when they pitched it on Kickstarter. It's well worth the subscription. So that's a listener who says that. That's not just those of us who are doing rich people things on behalf of Dwell Bible app. So to get the offer, though, if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, that's dwellapp.io/happyrant. You'll get a 33% discount off their annual subscription. So that's it's only $19.99 a year. That's really cheap. It's $1.67 a month. You know, if you divide that out, it's just a few cents a day. I think that's well worth it. It's also affordable for people kind of in pretty much any place. So if you're a college student and you're broke, you can still afford that. So again, dwellapp.io/happyrant. They have 44 different plans. There's different readers. There's background music if you want it or not. So they kind of create different experiences. But again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. Check it out. And if you're not sure, they have a 7-day free trial. You can test it out before you pay just to see how much you like it. So go take advantage of that. Do what David James Allen Jr. says and try the awesome app.
pipe any traction on us becoming readers for the app itself?
Well, we haven't made an official pitch to them. I need to build out the proposal. I need to put together the spec sheet. I probably need some audio samples because we don't have any audio of us saying any words. I don't know where I would find that.
Exactly.
So we'll have to do that. But yeah, we need to put together an official proposal with the right amount of just sort of gloss and shine and impressiveness to it.
Dude, we'll have to get the agents involved. You know, this needs to be a full on like corporate movement. This is a hostile takeover. So yeah, we're gonna need a PowerPoint. We're gonna need all kinds of presentations. I want a flip chart. So we're gonna fly to wherever they are. Where are they? Where are these guys based? Do you know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Interesting.
I mean, in this digital mobile age, they could be out of like Tulsa or Spokane or like Augusta, Georgia. Who knows? I have no idea.
Dude, I would be excited about Spokane. I would do Spokane. Less so about
That's
Tulsa.
That's probably the first time that phrase has ever been uttered.
Yeah. Is Spokane not like exotic and cool in a Pacific Northwest way?
No, because when it's on the other side of the state from Seattle, and it's like the high desert flatland. It's where like the weirdos in Washington live, you know, like the preppers and the gun owners and the general crazies. It's kind of close to Idaho, if that tells you anything.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's that part of the state.
Interesting. Well, maybe not Spokane, but if these guys are someplace cool, we'll fly there. We know Ron has connections in the airline industry, so we'll just meet him at whatever airport he's already at and hop a flight and go there. But Piper, apparently Trump, our president, has been signing some Bibles. Is this true? Has he been autographing Bibles?
Yeah, he did. So there was a tragedy in Alabama. It was a it was a natural disaster. And so he went down there and spoke to a group at a church and afterwards signed a number of Bibles, which if you read the media, it sounded like he signed every Bible in Alabama. And I use the media just as a general term. You read the media.
I sound
like a grandmother right now.
That's a very old man
thing. You read the media on the Googles with the interwebs. So if you followed the story, it made it sound like he signed, you know, 8,000 Bibles in gold Sharpie, and reality was probably half a dozen or something. But the funny thing about it was that he signed the front covers of the Bibles like he was signing
the front cover.
Yes, like he was signing a poster of himself
or like a
glossy 8x10, and it was really amusing. And then it led to this whole thing where people are like, they're creating outrage out of it, as one does, and calling it sacrilege. And then you get the other side of people who are like, actually, this is kind of a normal thing in certain church cultures growing up, where a guest speaker comes in and you have them signed in your Bible, usually not on your Bible.
Well, dude, and with most Bibles, there's like 20 pages of front matter.
And one of them often says like guest preachers or something. They used to make Bibles with that in there.
Dude, they used to make them like high school yearbooks. You know, you can write your little inscription and you know, be done with it. But Trump signed the cover. That's fascinating. Now, Pipe, let me lay a question on you. How far do you think you would have to go down the like theological idiot food chain to find somebody who would sign a Bible? You know what I mean? So if you start at the top with like, I don't know, your dad and Tim Keller and these guys that we really respect, like up at the top of the pyramid, like how far do you have to go down to find somebody like who's signing a Bible?
See, I think almost all those guys would.
Really?
Not necessarily. I think they would all gently push back and, you know, and say something
like, oh, really?
They'd be like,
do you have a bulletin or?
Yeah. I mean, I heard one of such influencers say, you know, his standard response is, well, I didn't write that one, so I don't think I should sign it. Which, you know, there's sort of, it's sort of a cutesy, clever, it doesn't embarrass the person kind of thing. And
sure,
it's not,
sure.
But I, you know, if like a 12-year-old kid comes up and is like, would you sign my Bible? My guess is that any of those guys would. And I like my dad told me he used to get his Bible signed growing up because he grew up in South Carolina and they'd have guest preachers come through, you know, White Oak Baptist Church. And he said that was a thing you did. It was sort of a record of who had preached or who had presented the gospel, which is, you know, there's an oddity to it. But at the same time, it's like if it's a cultural thing and nobody's thinking about it, you know, kind of whatever.
Right.
Would you sign a Bible, Ted?
I doubt it. That would just feel weird to me. And I would use humor. I would like make a joke out of it and you know, make myself the punchline or whatever. But yeah, I don't know that I would, man. Cause that's like a pretty big deal, but you're kind of winning me over with this whole, like, some of the Bibles have a page in the front matter just for that purpose. And maybe if it had that, I would do it. But yeah, it would just feel weird. I feel like there's a logistical thing to this too, Pipe, where the Bibles have that real sort of, you know, wispy thin paper. And yeah, like if you pressed really hard, it would go through and like, I don't think Bibles are made for signing.
Or the other kind of paper on those front pages is like, it's like cardboard. That's like laminated cardboard almost. And so yeah, signing that, it's like using a dry erase thing. So if you try to sign it in, you know, like the rolling ball ink pen, it's just, you're just smearing ink all over the Bible, which seems to me probably more defacing than putting my own name on there.
Yeah, you would have to travel with all kinds of implements. Piper, let me ask you this. What's the last autograph you got? Like,
the last one I asked for?
The last one you asked for. The last, like, autograph where you went up to somebody and you asked for their autograph. Because I feel like this sort of behavior, now it's different in the book business. Like you right, go to these book signings, you get a book signed by somebody. But I honestly couldn't tell you the last time I did that. I don't think I've ever gotten a book signed.
I have had people give me books that they have signed without me asking for it. But again, sure, that's sort of like being in the book world. And usually it's sort of like a, hey, thanks for help, you know, supporting this, whatever.
Thanks for
sort
your
of,
blurb sort of, or whatever. Like yeah, thing. Yeah,
I'm trying to. I think the last thing I got signed was, I think I got two things signed at the same event, and it was probably 10 years ago, close to that.
What was the event, and who'd you get them signed?
It was
by
the International Christian Retailing Show.
Ooh,
I don't remember what city it was in. I'm certain it was probably like Orlando in July, because that's how Christians do retail shows.
Nice.
Also known as hell.
Just a breezy 130 degrees during the day.
With a lovely swampiness in the air. Just exactly. Gold bond haven.
Yeah.
I got Mark Driscoll to sign one of his books, and I got J.I. Packer to sign one of his books.
There you go.
So
Drisky.
I was one for two on getting Orthodox church leaders to sign things.
Dude, there you go. That's not bad though. I mean, one for two. If you hit that in baseball, you're going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and if you shoot that in basketball, you're pretty strong. You could play for our Happy Rant team against Spurgeon's College. By the way, we did get some great submissions via.
Dude, yeah, I was gonna say we should do some personnel talk later.
Maybe we should save that for the live app, because then if anybody who has submitted is there, we could do, you know, sort of a tryout.
Dude, I love that. Yeah, I want to get eyeballs on him. I don't want to sign anybody.
There are a lot of people with a lot of spirit, not a lot of height. A lot of undersized guards who can't dribble. That seems to be a theme. So
nice. That's a good skill set.
Shaping up nicely.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we'll take what's there, and we're gonna travel up to Spurgeon College and get a win, no doubt.
Just lay a beat down on him.
Absolutely. Dude, my last autograph, I remember it very vividly. So this was in the early 2000s. I was covering basketball for ESPN, the magazine, and I was at the Palace of Auburn Hills, and like backstage in sort of the media worlds, you're not supposed to ask for autographs. And in fact, I think it even says like on the back of the credential, you know, no cheering in the press box and no asking for autographs. Basically, you gotta act like an adult, you know? So I'm back there and I'm walking around before the games, and I'd kind of like gotten all my interviews done, and I was just hanging around, and Desmond Howard was there. And this was like right after he retired from the league, and I had interviewed him, you know, one of his last years in the league. I interviewed him for an ESPN, the magazine thing. And my buddy Chris was having a birthday like the next weekend, and he's a huge Michigan fan, went to Michigan. And I was like, man, I got to get this credential signed by Desmond Howard. So I whipped off my credential. I was like, hey, would you mind signing this? And he was super gracious, very cool about it, scribbled his name on it. And then I like framed it and gave it to my buddy the next weekend. But that's it, man. I think that's the last autograph I've gotten in my life. And I used to love getting them when I was a kid. Like I would go to Indianapolis Colts training camps and games and just get crazy amounts of autographs.
That's so funny. I've always hated asking for, I don't like asking people for anything. I mean, I don't like, if a waiter brings me the wrong food, I don't ask them to bring me the right food. I just have this, I don't like asking people for things.
Dude, I find that endearing though. That's a good quality.
Or neurotic, maybe both. I'm not sure. But, But I mean, I remember, I lived five blocks away from the Metrodome growing up, and you know, where the Twins and the Vikings play. So I went to a ton of Twins games. And this was in the era, the late 90s, early 2000s, especially the late 90s, when nobody went to baseball games. The Twins drew like 8,000 fans a game. So if you went before or after the game and you knew where the entrance to the players lot was, there'd be like four people standing there waiting for autographs. So you could get any Twin signature. I had friends who did this pretty regularly. They have, you know, 20 signatures on their baseball gloves and all this. And I just wouldn't ask. I wouldn't do it. I would sort of stand back, and it would, they would have had to miraculously toss me something they had signed, or, you know, and that was it. So yeah, I don't ask for things. And even the last ones I got, they were at a book signing, which is, and I think it was put on by the publisher I worked for at the time, which means that it just sort of came with like the job, where I was like, hey, I'll get one of those two, kind of thing. Not like approaching somebody and asking. I don't ask famous people for photos. I don't ask for autographs. So just all of those things, I'm like, I don't know. I'd rather just see if they're a nice person.
Exactly. Piper, do you like the book signing? Do you like that whole thing as the author?
No,
do you
feel
like it's weird? Yeah.
I don't mind it. I don't mind if somebody, so if I've spoken or something and somebody comes up and says, would you sign this? I don't mind that at all, because that feels like there's been some level of thought engagement. You know, there's been speaking or we're having a conversation, but sitting at a table while people just file through. Part of the reason I hate it is because I'm not famous enough.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a decent chance seven people are going to come through the line over the course of 30
Dude,
minutes.
Right.
And so the only way you cannot look like a total loser is to extend every conversation about 5 minutes.
Totally.
Which
is
real awkward. So,
and there's an art and a science to that, where you look at the size of the crowd and you look at the number of people in the line and you go, all right, in order to not be sitting there in total like silent, angry shame, I've got to chit chat like crazy, you know? Dude, the worst one of those for me was, it was before KDY got super famous, but we had written the books together and we were speaking at, the Moody Pastors Conference, and the Moody Pastors Conference, I think, is emblematic of a lot of Christian conferences in that they had a really good like speakers lineup, but they tried to do a lot of things on the cheap. So one of the events was like in a basement cafeteria of a dormitory on Moody's campus.
Well, and to be fair, Moody's cafeteria is in the basement. I mean, it's literally like you go down, you go through a dingy beige tunnel, and you end up in a dimly lit, it looks like an old fellowship hall with like round tables in it.
Oh, dude, totally. It smells like a church basement. It looks like a church basement. It was grim. And they had a little table set up for us down there with like a little pile of our books on it. And their logic was like, oh, we'll do your book signing like concurrent with a mealtime. That way everybody will be there. But the problem with that was you saw everybody filtering in and like having that little internal monologue of, are these guys worth my time? Do I want to go over there? Do I want to engage? And I had to see that moment times like 1,000 guys. And I got to tell you, that wasn't a great evening. And I think that was the evening that Al Mohler fell asleep while KDY was talking to him.
Wasn't the last time that would happen, I'm sure.
That's true. I think Mueller has narcolepsy, though, like legit, which is kind of a fun thing.
Well, that's probably because he sleeps 11 and a half minutes a night. But
exactly,
it's hard to stay awake when you don't sleep other times.
Yeah, he's like a bat. That guy's amazing.
You know, thinking about that experience, or I think my worst one, and I haven't done a ton of book signings, again, not famous enough, which is perfectly fine. I enjoy writing books. I enjoy talking to people about books. I enjoy speaking about books. I don't care about marketing my own books much. There was a public library in near Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Ooh, nice.
And they put on like a readers event. So they brought in different local authors and artists, and then people who they could bring in from sort of the surrounding areas, so like Birmingham, Nashville, whatever.
Yeah.
And they brought me in to speak on The Curious Christian. And so I spoke to a room of, I don't know, there couldn't have been more than 30, 40 people in there. And it wasn't a massive room, so it didn't feel totally empty, but it felt pretty empty. And then they had a table set up like in a back hallway to do a book signing. And like six people came through. And so I'd like driven down that morning from Nashville to Muscle Shoals, I don't know, 2-3 hours, whatever it is, talk to a relatively small group of people, sign for next to nobody. And I was like, I think this is the last time I do a book signing.
Yeah. So you're like, sweet, I made $40, you know.
Well, no, the sales of the book were managed by, you know, a local bookstore, which was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But what that also taught me was anytime I go somewhere, I really prefer it if the host people take care of all the book stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When they're
sure.
like, oh, you can for bring sure. your books with you. I'm like, no, why don't you bring my books for me?
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
ask,
definitely.
Because, again, I don't ask for things. So this is my passive-aggressive way of criticizing everybody who's told me I can bring my own books.
Oh, dude, same. Yeah, I just agree to everything, like, right out of hand, and then I just grow bitter and resentful about it until I speak of it on my podcast a decade later.
And the thing is, unlike you and Ron, I'm probably more aggressive personality-wise, but I actually am pretty laid back about a lot of things. I just kind of don't care about a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
You know, same. I have my issues, but...
Yeah.
So this is not so much bitterness as much as it is sort of like, this is my roundabout way of saying, hey, if any of you ever consider inviting me to speak, please take care of the books. And, you know, you have your own volunteers take care of it. Sell them yourselves. Buy them and give them away to people. I don't care. Just don't make me do it. I don't like
it. Yeah. No, nobody wants to deal with that. Dude, my saddest book signing was, and I think I've told this story in the air before. It was after my first book, Facing Tyson, and I'd won the Michigan Notable Book Award, which is not a big deal really, but only in like MFA type circles do people care about stuff like that. But I had won this award and it came with like a book tour. So like part of it was, we're sending you on a book tour, but the book tour was, you're kind of going to go around to all these sad libraries in Michigan where probably nobody will show up to your signing. So I did a signing in, there's a town in Michigan called Bad Axe. So B-A-D space Axe. So I did a signing at the Bad Axe Public Library. That one was actually pretty great. But the saddest one was right downtown in Detroit. They've got this beautiful, like gorgeous old Carnegie Library, and it's right on Woodward Ave. And they have this huge, like gilded room set up with probably 100 kind of red velvet chairs and a big pile of my books at the front. And, the signing was me and three homeless guys who had just come in out of the cold. So like
that describes almost every downtown public library in the nation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Downtown public libraries are basically just like shelters at this point.
They're like the trailers they used to set up by ice rinks in Minnesota. It's the warming house. It is the warming house.
It's just a gigantic warming house with lots of books in it. But so yeah, I just ended up chatting with these homeless guys for like an hour about boxing. They were actually pretty knowledgeable. And they ask good questions, but that's probably my saddest book signing story. But all this to say, Piper, I hope people bring weird stuff for us to sign in Indy. I feel like we always get some good like signing opportunities. I feel like at live events in the past, I've signed like copies of other people's books, which has been fun. I'm not above doing that. So you could bring a copy of like any theological book.
Whose books wouldn't you sign?
Dude, I wouldn't sign the book of like an author that I really respect. But if it's like somebody in our tribe who's like our age, who it would be a little bit of a like goof to sign it, just like in a fun way,
right.
Like I would totally do. Like I'd sign at Jared C. Wilson's books. I'd sign Katie Wise books. Like I'm signing books from guys our age in our tribe.
Yeah.
I'm doing that all day long.
Yeah, but you get to like the Packers and the Sproles of the world, and you're like, nah, that seems disrespectful. Matt Chandler, yes.
Yeah,
J.I. Packer,
absolutely.
No.
Dude, or even like, you know, Leif Anger or David Foster Wallace or whatever. Like, I'm not signing those because it's not funny. Like, it's got to be funny. You know,
no,
it's
like that actually ruins something. You're like, no, if you want to ruin this, I'll just take it off your hands, actually.
Dude,
exactly.
I would love to have another copy. Yeah, I'll bring one back to my office. But yeah, no. It's got to be for humorous value, and it's got to be a certain like mid-level reformed author. Like I would love to sign an at Jared C. Wilson book from like a decade ago, or like a Colin Hanson book, or
all of
Tony
Reinke's books. I'll sign any of them,
dude. Yeah, or ooh, this would be fun. Like any garbage emergent church book from the mid-2000s, like
yes.
that you had on your shelf in like that ooh, I'm checking this out kind of phase. So like your early Rob Bell books, your like Tony Jones books,
yep.
just
I'll sign
hot garbage.
All copies of Velvet Elvis.
Yeah.
I'll sign all copies of Blue Like Jazz, even though I actually really like that book. Any Brian McLaren, any Tony Jones.
Oh, McLaren. Yeah, dude, I would love to see some hot garbage emergent books at Indy Live.
So anything I can lower the value of on those, I'm in.
That's right. That's right. No, I love it. I love it. That would be a lot of fun, man. So hopefully we get that. Hopefully people bring us a lot of like 80s baseball swag like we talked about before.
Which we won't sign. We'll just be very appreciative for.
Yeah, we're just going to appreciate it and love it. And then hopefully people bring their basketball resumes because I want to sign at least two players like live on the air at the event. So this has got to be part basketball business and part radio business, which is how we like it, Piper. But speaking of the entertainment industry, which really we are in via this podcast and via Christian Publishing, somebody asked the question a couple of months ago on social media, and it's a great one. What about entrance music for reform pastors? So like wrestlers' entrances or like walk-up music in baseball, which is a thing that I love. This is a conversation I love having because I just love the idea of walk-up music in general. So for a pastor like walking up to the podium to give their 55-minute reform church sermon, what are some of these guys walking up to, Piper? Have you given this any thought?
No, but we think best when we're thinking on the fly. So I didn't come with like a list for this one. That seems that would be out of character.
Dude, so I'm gonna lob some names out and let's just workshop these in light of what we think their walk up music is gonna be.
All right.
I'm gonna start with some easy ones and you know, we'll just see where we go. What about Drisky?
Okay, so the thing that comes to mind first, it's like the Rorschach test like the musical Rorschach. The first thing that came to mind is like Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine.
Except that's too cool.
Right. Well, and it's a little obvious.
Yeah, it's a little obvious, and also like I don't think that he has that much taste. You know, no disrespect.
So you'd go to like Korn?
I'd go to Korn. I'd go to like some really bad early 2000s.
Oh, you know who it is?
Rap rock.
He would play a song by POD. Do you
Dude, I was
POD?
Trying to think of that band. Yeah, I was thinking PDF. And I'm like, no, that's the document thing. Well, I'm like PDF, PD.
Well, then
P90X,
there was POD. Then there was also PFR, but they were more like kind of Christian alt rocky, you know, little high voice kind of thing, little Savage Garden-y.
Yeah, Drisky would totally do POD, and it would be that song Alive.
I could also see him doing like Linkin Park. He could, sort of broody and angry. And,
If there was any Linkin Park song with like any like even pseudo Christian connotations, I could see him. You know, I could see him leaning into that big time.
Yeah, I think that's the right vibe. But yeah, Bulls on Parade is a little too like. No, that was kind of an anthem. He doesn't deserve an anthem. He gets POD or
he gets
Linkin
Fred
Park.
Durst.
Yes.
He gets Fred Durst. I love it. He kind of is the Christian Fred Durst in a lot of ways. Peaked in the early 2000s. Kind of a punchline now. I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. All right. So Drisky we have taken care of. Let's lean into our tribe a little bit more now. What about what about Reform's greatest frat boy, Matt Chandler? Houstonian. He's a beef tycoon now. What is Matty Chan listening to on the way up to
That's
the podium?
That's a really good question. I mean, so he's Texan through and through, but he's not, you know, he's not going to go like George Strait. That is not the right vibe. He's not a true frat boy. Like he's not going to go like Nickelback.
Dude, Dave Matthews Band for Channy?
Yeah, we're getting closer to the range.
I think
there.
We're getting closer. We're getting closer.
Let's see who else is kind of in the Dave Matthews-y. Creed is a little too sticky.
Creed.
But
yeah. Dude, what's the quintessential Creed track?
Arms
I hate that
wide
I don't
open.
Remember. Yeah, with arms wide open.
Yeah, I was out grabbing dinner with a friend last night, and that came on, and we both just sort of like we dropped our forks, and we're kind of like, what is happening here?
Oh no! And also, can you take me higher? Yeah.
Is that the ethos of Chandler? I kind of feel like Dave Matthews might be a little bit more on point.
Yeah, I could see Channy driving around like in college.
No, I know who it is. It's John Mayer.
John Mayer.
It is a John Mayer song. That is the entrance music and the vibe and the ethos.
Dude, and Channy drove around in like the early 2000s in college in the truck that his dad bought him. He played Your Body is a Wonderland for his girlfriend at the time and just kind of like cocked an eyebrow. Just kind of like, How is this landing? That's right. That kind of thing.
No comments. Just how's
no
this,
comments.
Is this being received?
Dude, I'm just kind of reading the room right now. A little John Mayer, a little Your Body is the Wonderland, and we're just going to see how it plays.
Because that's so subtle.
Yeah, very subtle. That's frat boy subtle, though. Like, that is subtlety for a frat boy.
And then
boy.
He said, are you tracking with me? Are you tracking
with
me?
Yeah, are you tracking with me? No, I love it. I love it. Okay, Channy. So Channy's taken care of. Drisky's taken care of. Let's see. Let's do another young guy, and then let's do some old guys. Who's another good young guy, Pipe?
Let's see. What about... Oh, this is going to be a tough one, just personality-wise. Yeah. What about Platt? Sure.
David
Platt.
What about Platty?
Yeah.
It's got to be something, like, not whimsical at all. So it's got to be kind of steeped in misery and pain.
Yeah, real sort of... something real navel-gazy. I mean, Nirvana's too dark, but that's the... Like that emotional kind of, feel, but less aggressive.
Dude, I got one, and this song is too fun to listen to, but it kind of lands, I think, content wise. What about? Do you know the song "The Black Parade" by My Chemical Romance?
Yes.
Do you remember this angsty, like, early 2000s pop punk song?
Yes.
Which I actually really love.
But
like,
but
I will go to war
for
that song.
The words pop and punk could not apply to Platt, though.
Like, that's the problem.
He needs to be like singer songwriter.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's see who, like a Sturgill Simpson or something like that is
kind of miserable and incomprehensible at times. Yeah,
or who is the shoot? I always forget his name. Who's the guy who did the song "Hallelujah" originally?
Music people are gonna hate us for this.
Well, sorry, listeners.
It's not Jeff Beck, is it?
No. It's keep talking. You. Think of something. I'm gonna do show prep on the air.
Do a little show
it
prep.
Works so well. It'll probably come to me while I'm.
It would be some version of that, but like the least fun version of that song. I think that's what Platty's walking up to.
Jeff Buckley is what this says, but that's not right.
That's what I meant. Jeff Buckley.
Leonard Cohen. Yeah. Leonard Cohen was the one that I was thinking of. I feel like, like a Leonard Cohen song is sort of perfect for Platt. Because here's the other thing. Cohen, in writing his music, he never stopped writing the same song. He was never satisfied with it. There was always like,
that's Platty.
Exactly.
That's so Platty. Dissatisfaction is the new satisfaction.
I think it's Leonard Cohen.
Dude, speaking of an angry guy, what about Paul Washer? What's Paul Washer walking up to the podium to?
Yeah, he's an interesting one because, like, Driscoll was sort of like, you know, spilling testosterone everywhere and, you know, getting it all over people. Whereas Washer's just like...
It's got to be something real self-loathing.
Like this unassuming person who then is just like, oh, there's a lot of rage in there.
Yeah.
Let's see. What would that look like?
Dude, I used to listen to this band in the 90s that's so, like... angry, like I'm embarrassed to tell people about it, but I had a great experience on my birthday last weekend. I had my buddy Matt over, and me and Matt were sitting in my cigar room, having a cigar, listening to music, and we were kind of like.
By the way, cigar room, rich people stuff.
Oh, totally, dude. Yeah. You know the geez, who's the guy? He would approve of that, and he would smoke a cigar in my room.
Dave
for
Ramsey.
Sure. Ramsey, thank you. But we were having this conversation about like 80s and 90s metal, and he was kind of like, did you ever listen to Pantera? And I could tell he was nervous to ask me, and I was like, yes, dude, I devoted like 3 years of my listening life to Pantera when I was in my angriest, like weightliftingest, like college meathead years. Like those were Pantera years, big time. So maybe something from that, like, Vulgar Display of Power album from Pantera from the early 90s.
You know, we've now delved into it, an area of music about which I know nothing. I might recognize Pantera if I heard it, but I couldn't name a single thing off the top of my head.
So theologically speaking, Pantera had this song that Washer would like. It was called I'm Broken. And I think that's Washer's
walk-up. It's a strong start. By title alone, I think it fits. The question is, do they have one that's called You Are Broken?
Yeah, well, all their other songs were kind of about like just chaos and mayhem and just kind of everything being broken.
Have you seen the movie The Wedding Singer? Adam Sandler.
Of course, dude. I love that movie.
Okay, so, you know, there's the amazing song that he has in there. Would somebody please kill me? I want to effing die.
I feel
like that could potentially work, except for the profanity might not fit Washer super
well. That's true. Dude, also John Lovitz was so funny in that movie.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he had like a 3-year run in the late 90s doing that Sandler stuff where he was just like out of his mind. All right, let's do another one. So we got Washer taken care of. What about J.D. Greer? I've got an idea for this one, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
Man, Greer's a tough one to pin down because he's not super out there personality-wise. The more sort of bold someone is personality-wise, the easier they are to pin down. But I feel like that plants him firmly in like pop music territory.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking like squarely in pop music.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. It can't be like girly pop because he's a manly man.
Oh, for sure. Is he a manly man? I don't know anything about him except the way he looks.
Yeah, I mean he likes cigars and he likes steaks. In fact, I think in North Carolina, near where he lives, there's a steakhouse that is a cigar lounge that has a plaque with his name on the wall because of his patronage. That's a rumor I've heard. We'll go with it because that's what we do. He's a fitness guy.
Dude, that makes
me
like him more, man.
He's like a manly dad, not like macho man, but you know.
Dude, I'm thinking some pop like bro country for him.
Hmm.
Like not full on bro country, but like, dude, did I ever share with you on the program that I purchased a bro country album a couple years ago and I really like it? And I know you hate bro country, and yeah, I normally do too.
I'm processing right now, trying to do the if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all thing right now.
Dude, so the outfit is Dan and Shay, and they had this song on the radio, and I heard it.
Which one's the girl?
They're both guys, unfortunately. Oh, okay. That's what's difficult about it. So I hear this song on the radio, and I'm like, man, I really like this thing. And I don't know, I was on Amazon one day, so I just bought the record. And I got to tell you, man, I really, really enjoy it, but it's a little embarrassing. So I'm airing all my musical dirty laundry today, but I'm thinking something in that bro country space.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, we're not gonna he's not Keith Urban. It's not Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah,
not Luke Bryan.
Right,
like Jason Aldean sounds about right.
Dude, there you go. Yeah, you don't have to be super embarrassed of it,
But you should be a little embarrassed by it.
Absolutely. Now I got another one for you, and this one's going to take us in a different direction.
Okay.
What about our good friend at Jared C. Wilson? And the reason I say it's going to take us in a different direction, like cleverness is important to at Jared C. Wilson. So yes. Like in a way that it isn't for any of the other guys that we've talked about. So like being clever and like being that guy about the song, like there's got to be some cleverness like layer to it. So
yeah.
What do you think for him?
Yeah, it's got to have a level of sort of gravity to it because he takes things seriously, but also has a sense of humor. So it can't be like a Jason Isbell song because...
Dude, no, and it can't be Radiohead. That's too PhD program. Ugh,
Radiohead. Yeah. Yeah, any preacher who... I mean, yeah, the preachers who are Radiohead should just stop talking. Let's see.
Which is like 3/4 of them in our tribe.
Right. That's such bad taste. Radiohead is headache-inducing.
Dude, Radiohead is the band that you have to say you like if you want a certain level of like artistic gravitas, but that nobody actually likes to listen to. In that vein, though, this is one like that with a little bit of playfulness. What about like Elvis Costello for at Jared C? They kind of look alike, which is why I went that direction. Don't they kind of look alike, Elvis Costello and our boy at Jared C?
I can see a vague similarity. Here's the thing. You mentioned bro country earlier. I think he actually likes that music.
Really? That's fascinating to me.
At least he occasionally posts online about how his kids make fun of him for listening to it. So
yeah.
I don't know if he likes it or if he likes trolling his children.
Dude, is there any like
one of which
country?
I approve of way more than the other.
What am I saying? There's all kinds of hipster country. Like, just go to Nashville. But it would be one of these hipster
country. Have you
country
seen fedoras? Let's see. But it has to be one that is, there has to be some fun in it.
Yeah.
You know, you know who it is? It's Brad Paisley.
Okay.
Which is not hipster country. It's like country, but like a lot of his songs are humorous.
Yeah.
And then he also, you know, he does a bunch. So I think Jared C. Wilson, and we know you're listening. Your walk-up music is Brad Paisley.
Dude, I got a banger for you here, man.
All right.
This one's going to go, this is going to go in some interesting directions.
Oh boy.
What about the, what about the Angry Elf, man? What about Owen Strachan? What's he walking up to?
Well, Eminem is the first thing that came to mind.
Yes. Yes.
I think which song would be the question?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Lose Yourself is low hanging fruit, but I think it probably works.
I think the real Slim Shady, because I feel like he would go to sort of the original.
Yeah.
Back to like bleach blonde hair.
Yeah.
Eminem. So real Slim Shady. I think that's a possibility. It'd be very ironic if he used the song White America.
Ooh, interesting.
That's a very angry song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think real Slim Shady would
I like that. That works for me, man. That definitely works for me. Let's do at least one old guy. Let's do an old guy that's not your dad. What about Timmy K?
Timmy K? Oh man, the old guys are tough.
Yeah.
To me
it would be Simon and Garfunkel, because it's New York, and he would probably be like, yeah, I had tea with Art Garfunkel last week, and you know, we were talking about the whatever and the concert in Central Park in the 70s. I don't know. I feel like it would be some Simon and Garfunkel.
That's a really good one. Something he sort of sneaky loved back in the day. But,
yeah.
So I'm going to weave together themes from past episodes. So this is this, you know, when we were talking about if pastors were going to start businesses, my recollection is that we gave Timmy K an art house theater.
We did.
So I think we would go with the soundtrack from an arty sort of film.
Okay.
So, I don't know which one this would be. Wasn't there? There was a movie about country music musicians starring Jeff Bridges.
Oh yeah, I saw. Years ago.
Was it? It had Thunder in the name, didn't it?
Yeah. What the heck was that called? I enjoyed it. He was an alcoholic. It was kind of just like right down the fairway, Jeff Bridges stuff, but it was really good.
Yeah, you can't tell if he's sober or drunk because he's Jeff Bridges.
Exactly.
So that's a possibility. We've got the recent one, A Star is Born. Oh, that's a little bit too recent and pop. Maybe like A Star is Born, the old version.
Like a Kris Kristofferson.
Yes.
Bab Streisand track from the 70s version of A Star is Born. Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, I think I would go with something like that route.
Nice, man. I like that.
Although
a lot.
Simon and Garfunkel is probably closer to the truth. I still think we go Star is Born, Barbra Streisand edition.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, any like personnel that we've missed?
Okay, let's go outside the camp again, because we would be remiss if we did not give Ferdy a song. Stephen Furtick needs a song.
Ferdy definitely needs a song.
It can't be a boy band, as obvious as that is.
All right.
So yeah, just, I know that's where your mind went, because that's where mine went. Sure.
I'm gonna go modern. I'm gonna go hip hop. I'm gonna go Drake, because I think Ferdy is trying to look like Drake.
I was gonna say, because you've said that they're like distant cousins.
I think they must be.
I think Drake is good, but I feel like Drake. I mean, that's really good, but I also feel like Ferdy is so much more like Milktoast in terms of. I mean, and if you're more Milktoast than Drake, that's saying something. I feel like it would have to be one of those seasonal jams, you know, like the summer hit song from. So who was LMFAO did the song a few, you know, like five or six years ago.
Yeah. And then it'll be one of those songs. It's almost like a joke song.
Is this ironically fun, or do we actually think this is fun? What's happening here? But yeah, I think it would be like an LMFAO song. I don't even know if they exist anymore. I kind of hope they don't. But I think that fits the bill.
Yeah, that type of thing definitely fits the bill. Pipe, are you like versed enough in sort of 90s hip hop to talk about joke like 90s hip hop songs for a second? Like, is that a deep dive you've taken?
I can do my best. I don't, you know, I know, dude, I know so some. There were, I enjoy listening to 90s Hip Hop.
There were a couple great ones, man. So you had like Just a Friend by Biz Markie. Are you familiar with this song?
Yes. Almost Anything by ODB.
Dude, yeah, Almost Anything by ODB. The Humpty Dance by Digital Underground, yes. Which is like,
yeah.
I've listened to that song because of a conversation that I had. It's a long story, but I've listened to that song.
Yeah.
Like 3 or 4 times in the last week.
I mean, Baby Got Back is a classic.
Yeah.
It's one that you're like, oh, this is not artistic. It's just entertainment.
Dude, it's not artistic, but like the Humpty Dance totally holds up as a thing. Like if somebody dropped that song in 2019, which you couldn't do.
Sorry, that sentence, the Humpty Dance totally holds up as a thing. Oh, yeah. I wish I had a different way of titling these episodes because I always just sort of give like the topics, but there is an episode title.
Dude, maybe we'll go with that, man. We're just getting a little loose before Indie Live. We'll tighten it back up when we're together. But yeah, man, if that song drops in 2019, I think it's hilarious. I think people love it. Best use of Burger King bathroom in a hip hop like set of lyrics ever.
I mean, not necessarily the best use. Yeah, as a lyric, not
yeah, as a lyric, to, not to as clarify. The actual thing that it was used for. But, dude, Outkast, I think had some So Fresh, So Clean. It wasn't quite like a joke song, but was the best use of Anne Frank's name in a rap lyric.
Yes, Outkast has probably the most. Them and maybe like Snoop have the most range going from like kind of like silly kind of yeah like almost joke songs like Hey Ya and
yeah
So Fresh So Clean to songs that you know they have like Rosa Parks and these other songs like that Bombs Over Baghdad and a whole variety of other songs that are actually you know they say things about things
dude I think Outkast was like genius level stuff in retrospect like there was a lot of talent happening there How do we get on this? Are we done personnel wise, Pipe?
I think so. We should probably wrap this thing. I got to take my daughter to swim. You know,
oh, yeah,
which means that I'll be at the YMCA using the gym, probably listening to excessive amounts of 90s hip hop. Now we have inspired me.
There you go. So this is your old lady YMCA though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Nice. There's a bunch of people in like velour sweatsuits or like kind
I love it.
Awkwardly fitting themselves into too tight workout clothes and using ellipticals. And I'll have my headphones in listening to Outkast. And
dude, can I wrap this with one last music story?
You said, can I wrap this? And I got a little nervous given what we were just talking about.
No.
Yes. Go ahead.
It concerns the gym. So there's this guy, and I'm sure you have this type of person in your life too, in your professional world, but he's just a guy that I see on campus like 25 times a day. Like wherever I am, he's there, and he's a student. He's a theology and mission student. He goes to my church. Super nice guy, man. Super, super nice guy. But because I see him 25 times a day, like we run out of stuff to say to each other, you know, and like we even run out of like friendly chit chat and banter such that I wish I could just have a conversation with him where I say, like, you don't have to say anything to me. You know, like, I won't think you're mad at me if you just walk by me in the hallway.
Has it devolved to the point of just making observations where you walk by and you're like, white shoelaces?
Yeah. Dude, totally. Yeah, we're at observation level banter at this point. So we're both at the gym the other day and we're lifting, and not together, though. And I've got my headphones in. He's got his headphones in, which I feel like headphones in, it's the universal sign of like, let's not engage, you know, let's just leave each other alone, give each other some space. But he comes over and he takes out his headphones and he's like, hey, did you ever listen to Joe Walsh? And I'm like, no, you know, like I knew like Joe Walsh was a guy in the 70s, but like, I've never listened to Joe Walsh specifically. And, he's like, huh? And he goes, but I know you gotta love Jimmy Buffett, right? And I was like, oh,
that's like a shot at your character.
Dude, it is a shot at my character. And I was like, I could either just be the nice guy and kind of shrug my shoulders and move on. But I was like, dude, I got to tell you, Jimmy Buffett is everything. He's emblematic of everything that I hate about music, like a certain kind of music. Like I'm just relaxing with my bros and some buds, you know, like Jimmy Buffett is emblematic of that whole genre. And I couldn't hate anything more musically.
By the way, Rick Warren, walk-up music, Buffett. Jimmy Buffett.
There you go. Yep, that's right. So I could tell he was kind of wounded by it. So I was like, but keep going, you know, keep trying. And like eventually we're going to get to some artist that we share an affinity for. But yeah, that's it, man. That's my story.
Joe, I don't like Walsh Jimmy. And Jimmy Buffett at the gym with
yeah.
greeting guy. White shoelaces
guy. I'm like, are you a 65-year-old drunk guy masquerading as a college kid? You
know, no, he's actually a 54-year-old drunk woman masquerading yeah. as a college guy.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it, Piper. And with that, with 54-year-old drunk women, I think we've just officially wandered to and fro throughout this podcast. So if you enjoyed this at any level, run, don't walk to happyrantpodcast.com. Buy some Ligaris Roasters coffee. We have not forgotten about you, Heck Ligaris. We've just been busy promoting ourselves lately. So buy some Ligaris Roasters, get your tickets for Indy Live. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.